Political freedom, respect for human rights, and support for representative governments are both morally right and ultimately the best guarantors of stability in the world of the 21st century. This spring, the whole world looked on with deep interest as courageous citizens in Indonesia raised their voices in protest against corruption and government practices that had brought their nation's economy to its knees. They demonstrated for change, for the right to elect leaders fully accountable to them. And in just 2 weeks, the universal longing for democratic, responsive, accountable government succeeded in altering their political future. America will stand by the people of Indonesia and others as they strive to become part of the rising tide of freedom around the world. Some worry that widespread political participation and loud voices of dissent can pull a nation apart. Some nations have a right to worry about instability because of the pain of their own past. But nonetheless, I fundamentally disagree, especially given the dynamics of the 21st century global society. Why? Democracy is rooted in the propositions that all people are entitled to equal treatment and an equal voice in choosing their leaders, and that no individual or group is so wise or so all-knowing to make all the decisions that involve unfettered power over other people. The information age has brought us yet another argument for democracy. It has given us a global economy that is based on, more than anything else, ideas. A torrent of new ideas are generating untold growth and opportunity, not only for individuals and firms, but for nations. As I saw again in Shanghai when I met with a dozen incredibly impressive Chinese entrepreneurs, ideas are creating wealth in this economy. Now, it seems to me, therefore, inevitable that societies with the freest flow of ideas are most likely to be both successful and stable in the new century. When difficulties come, as they do to every country and in all ages, there is never a time that is free of difficulties. It seems to me that open debate and unconventional views are most likely to help countries most quickly overcome the difficulties of unforeseen developments. Let me ask you this. A year ago, when you celebrated the turnover from Great Britain to China of Hong Kong, what was everybody buzzing about after the speeches were over? Will this really work? Will this two systems thing work? Will we be able to keep the elections? Will this work? How many people were off in a corner saying, this is a pretty tough time to be doing this because a year from now the whole Asian economy is going to be in collapse. And how in the world will we deal with this? When you cannot foresee the future and when problems coming on you have to bring forth totally new thinking, the more open the environment, the quicker countries will respond. I believe this is profoundly important. I also believe that by providing a constructive outlet for the discontent that will always exist in every society, because there is no perfect place, and because people have different views and experience reality differently, and by finding a way to give everybody some sense of empowerment and role in a society, that freedom breeds the responsibility without which the open, highly changing societies of the 21st century simply cannot succeed. For all these reasons, I think the forces of history will move all visionary people, including Asians with their legendary assets of hard work, intelligence, and education, toward freer, more democratic societies and ways of ordering their affairs. For me, these lessons we must carry forward into the new century and in this time of transition and change as we deepen America's partnership with Asia. Success will come to those who invest in the positive potential of their people, not weapons to destroy others. Open governments and the rule of law are essential to lasting prosperity. Freedom and democracy are the birthrights of all people and the best guarantors of national stability and progress. Now, as I said, a little over a year ago, no one could have predicted what you would have to endure today in the form of this crisis. But I am confident Hong Kong will get through this and will help to lead the region out of it because of the lessons that I have just mentioned and because they have been a part of the fabric of your life here for a very long time. For years, Hong Kong people have enjoyed the right to organize public demonstrations, due process under law, 43 newspapers and 700 periodicals, giving life to the principle of government accountability, debate, free and open. All this must continue. The world was impressed by the record turnout for your May elections. The results were a mandate for more democracy, not less, and faster, not slower strides toward political freedom. I look forward to the day when all of the people of Hong Kong realize the rights and responsibilities of full democracy. I think we should all pledge, each in our own way, to build that kind of future, a future where we build people up, not tear our neighbors down, a future where we order our affairs in a legal, predictable, open way, a future where we try to tap the potential and recognize the authority of each individual. I'm told that this magnificent convention center was built in the shape of a soaring bird on a patch of land reclaimed from the sea. It's an inspiring symbol of the possibilities of Hong Kong, of all of Asia, and of our relationship with Asia. Just a couple of days ago, Hong Kong celebrated its first anniversary of reversion to China. I'm going home for America's 222nd anniversary tomorrow. May the future of this special place, of China, of the relationship between the United States and China and Asia, soar like the bird that gave life to this building. Thank you very much.